We're holding on Dalit. I'm going to Aleph the second line. We started learning yesterday that Rav Chiya had told us a din. We know there's a concept of moed b'mitzvah. We know that if Reuven tells Shimon, "You owe me $100," claims to Beis Din that Shimon owes him $100, and Shimon counterclaims and says he owes only 50, then Shimon has to take a shvur. That's one of the three cases in the Torah where a person has to take a shvur. And we discussed the reason behind it, so that Rabbi explains that he can't deny the whole thing because chazaka inan mei is panim pnei baal choivei. He doesn't want to admit to the whole thing because right now he can't afford it. So therefore, he figures he's going to try to stall for time, and therefore the Torah tells him take a shvur. Now we had Rav Chiya telling us a variation on that. Instead of him being moda on the half, we had Edim saying that he owes the half. So Rav Chiya had said the half that they say he has to pay, but the other half he would have to swear on, said Rav Chiya. And we said, Rav Chiya had pointed out the reason is because even though, again, we would have said that the reason why he's high of the 50 in the case of Moed B'Mikdash is because of the logic of Chazaka in an Emeis Panim and all of that, and that wouldn't apply in the case of Edim. However, Edim are always stronger than Hadaras Piv by a Kavachomer, and therefore, if Hadas Piv is going to make him chayev, is going to make him chayev a shavua, then for sure Edim have to be chayev a shavua. So we've been working out exactly on most of the rest of on most of Gimel Amud Beis. We've been trying to work out exactly how that Kal V'Chomer is supposed to work and why and aren't there ways of shlugging it up. So we ended up saying that yes, on the we so far we left off with. That, yeah, we can't really make a Kal V'Chomer between his Hoidah and Edim because you do have an example where his Hoidah is stronger than Edim, namely that his Hoidah is not subject to HaKosh of a Hazam, other Edim contradicting him, or even other Edim coming and saying he was someplace else at the time when he claimed this thing happened, doesn't change the fact that he was Moida, that he owes a certain amount of money, and therefore that he's Chayav, as opposed to, of course, Edim do. So now the last thing the Gemara had said is, what about though? Fine, try to make the Kal V'Chomer between one aid versus two aid. One aid is mechayiv m'shvur, two are mechayiv m'mamon. So then all the more so they should be able to be mechayiv m'shvur. But we said that still doesn't work because it's a different type of aidos versus shvur. In the case of one aid, the one aid is saying he owes 50. He's counterclaiming that he do, that he that he doesn't owe that he's counterclaiming and saying I don't owe the 50, but he's not swearing on that. He's swearing and he is swearing on that. He's swearing al mashu who made who nishba. What he's swearing on is that he doesn't owe anything of what that aid says. The one aid is saying you owe 50. He's saying no, I don't owe the 50, and I'm ready to take a shvua on that. Whereas when it comes to Edim, what we're saying is he owes the 50 that they said. Now he has to swear on the other 50 that he doesn't own, and it's not the same kind of claim. So that still wouldn't work. So that's where we're up to. Second line of Dalet Amud Aleph. Ella Amar Rav Papa Osi Migilgul Shvua De'ed Echad. Rather, Rav Papa says we're going to learn it by a Kal V'Chomer from Gilgul Shvua involving one aid. Namely, we know we learned in Kiddushin that when Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din, and he's making him swear on something where he has a legitimate claim that he can make Shimon swear on. He can also include with it various other claims that in and of themselves wouldn't have been strong enough to be mechayev shvua, but because once he's having him swear on one thing, then he can have him swear on other things as well. We learn that where Rashi brings from that Gemara in Kiddushin. We learn that from the fact that by the Soita, va'omra ha'isha amen amen, that she's saying amen, not only that I wasn't mezana, not only that I'm accepting and I'm saying I wasn't mezana now with my husband who brought me for the Soita ritual, but I wasn't mezana at other previous times when I was in Arusa or Shemeres Yavam, etc. Those are things he wouldn't have been able to be mashbiah her because you don't bring a soita in cases like that. So he wouldn't have separately been able to be mashbiah on her on those. But once he's mashbiah her on that she wasn't mezana as a nesua, then he can include all those things as well. So therefore, so Rav Papa says we're going to make a Kal V'Chomer on the basis of that. Mali gilgul shvur de'ed echad. Oh no, the mala shvua is going to be actually the upshlag of that. So rather, we're going to say like this: from gilgul shvua of eid echad. So we're saying that when it comes to one aid, So along with that can come other shvus. So the kal v'chomer would be madach one aid can't be mechayev mamon, but he can be mechayev him a shvua. Now we said before the problem isn't the shvua that he's swearing in response to the one aid on exactly what the aid is being made on, but no, because once there's one aid, then he can be swearing on things that the aid did not say. That's what gilgul shvua is. So therefore, how much more so now with two aidim that he can be swearing on what the aidim are not saying, namely the other 50. But the Gemara says that doesn't work. You could argue, though, on the other hand, the fact is, with one aid, yes, you're not swearing on what he testified, but at least you have one shvua that's dragging along another shvua. You have at least the original shvua that he's swearing is what the aid is being made on. Then along with that goes other things that he wasn't being made on. As opposed to how can you say when it comes to Edim, where they're being Machayev Momen, to begin with, there's no Shvua. So why should we, so to speak, invent a Shvua that doesn't exist on the basis of that, that didn't exist otherwise on the basis of the Kal V'Chomer, that two Edim have to be stronger than one, when the fact remains that there was no shvua here in the first place, and therefore it's not really the same as the case of Eid Echad, where at least there was a shvua in the first place. Okay. So the Gemara said,
"Tomor by Eidim."
Tomor, how can you say be Eidim the moment come chayvi? How can you say by Eidim where they are mechayev moment? Piva is the answer. Piva is a separate thing. Okay. So in other words, when it comes to the Eidim, what we're saying is they're Machayev Mammon. They're saying he owes 50. There's no shvua at that point. Right. You want to all of a sudden invent a shvua that he should have to say on the basis of a Kal V'Chomer that two aidim are stronger than one aid, but it's not really a valid Kal V'Chomer. So the Gemara says, you're right. Piv Yechiach. Instead, we can prove from the case where he himself says, where he's Moida, and then he goes and swears on the other part. So then how much more so Edim? So this is, we're going to go back to the case of Moedim Miktas. Now, according to Rashi, it comes out basically that the Gemara is not going to learn from Gilgul Shvua anymore. We're going to go back exclusively to Piv, and then the Gemara is going to end up proving it from a Tzada Shova between Hadaras Piv and 1A. There are other Rishonim who learn that actually the Gemara is still going to use the Gilgul Shvua and is going to use a Tzada Shova between that and 1A. Anyway, but according to Rashi, the vote would be then, so we're saying, Piv Yechiach, fine, so never mind Gilgul Shvua, let's go back to Hadaras Piv, where we're saying that when he's moida to something, then he has to pay, so he's moida b'miktas, again, then he swears on what he's not claiming. But again, as we said before, Mala Piv Shekein Enim HaKosha, on the other hand, you can say that when he says, then there's no HaKosha possible. Because again, even if Edim come and contradict him and say you don't owe the money, doesn't matter. Hadas Baldin Kamei Edim Dummy. But the Gemara answers back, Edechad Yechiach Sheyeshta Bachosha. Well, you can prove that it's not so from one aid who is subject to Akosha or Machayev Shvua, and one aid would be Machayev Shvua. Because if Edim come and contradict the one aid, then the one's Edos is confuted, and that's that. Now, Tosfos points out that further on, the Gemara is going to point out that there's a weakness with Eid Echad in that if we're mazim them, then they actually pay. When it comes to one aid, we don't do that. But actually, Tosfos says that's not really a strength in one aid against two aidim. That's a weakness. In that, because his Edus is not strong enough to be Mechayev Mammon, therefore it's not strong enough to be Mechayev him either if he turns out to be an Eid Zoymin. But in any case, the point is,
Eid Echad ain't no Bechachasha. You can't dispute.
No, Eid Echad, there is Hachasha.
Hachasha
is contradiction. Yeah, if two other Edim come and say this guy is a false aid, because for example, he's testifying that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon on this day in this place, and meanwhile Reuven and Shimon were elsewhere at the time. That's not Hazama. Hazama would be they say Imanu Ayisim,
right,
that you aid yourself or with someplace else. But it is Hachasha, and the fact is his Edus will be contradicted.
So what's Eid Echad Yuchia?
So that's the point. In other words, so we tried to say that when it comes to Piv, we can say Piv does not apply, HaKosha does not apply. On the other hand, Eid Echad Yechiach Sheyesh Nema HaKosha or Mechayev Shvua, like two Eidim. But the question is, Mala'ed Echad Shaken Amasha Made Hu Nishba, Trema Be'ed Misha Amasha Kofa Hu Nishba. But we ask, as we said before, that with one aid, what he's swearing on is exactly what they're claiming, because they're saying he owes 50 and he's swearing on exactly that same 50 that he's potter, as opposed to with Hadad, or the other way around, with Eid Echad, with Eid Echad, he's swearing, they're saying he owes 50, he's swearing, I don't owe that very same 50.
Right.
How do you compare it to Adim? Shamasha Kofo Nishba, where the other way around, he's swearing on what he denied. And the answer is we go back Pibyechiach. We go back to proving from the case of Hadas Pib, the Chazar Hadin. So therefore we go back and forth. We have this kind of thing, for example, at the beginning of Bava Kamma, where each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have. Piv is not subject to a Chosha where Eid Echad is. On the other hand, Piv is swearing on what he didn't claim, because after all, he's moda on half and he's swearing on the other half. With Eid Echad, it's not like that. So each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have. Atzada Shava Shabahen, what do they have in common? Shaide Taino Kfira Hein Boyin Vinishba. That there's a taina over here, there's a denial over here, and the result is that he swears. Afani Avi Edim. Therefore, we can bring in on the basis of the Sada Shava. It's true, we can't prove it exclusively from one or exclusively from the other, but from the combination of Piv and Eid Echad, we can prove Afani Avi Edim. We can also bring the case where there are two Edim, Shaide Taina or Kfira Hein Boyin, where again you have a Taina, you have a Kfira. One is claiming, the other one is denying the claim. Vinishba, and the result is that he swears. So we're going to learn that the fact that by two Edim he has to swear, we're going to learn by a Tzada Shava, not exclusively from one of them, but by a Tzada Shava. Shaide Taina or Kfira means that there was a Taina that Reuven is claiming, Shimon is denying the claim, and that's why they're coming to base.
Hein
Boyin. They come. Yeah. Tosfos points out that on the face of it, here you have also the case of Kofar Hakel. When he denies the whole thing, then also you have Reuven is claiming, Shimon is denying the claim, and we don't make him swear. Only did Rabbanan. So the difference is, Tosfos says, no, what we mean is that there's a Taina or Kfira, mean that we have strong reason to believe that there's some kind of truth to the Taina. When you have one aid, or when he's moda on his own, there's a glaim ladover, it's called. There's a strong reason to believe that the kofer, that the one who's denying is lying, either because there's one aid against him, or because Hadas Piv, because at least he's admitting part of the claim, so therefore that makes it more likely that, like we said before, that he actually owes the whole thing and he's just trying to stall for time. So therefore, so we make him take a shvur. With Kofar Hakel, what we're saying is, Tosfos says, there's no particular reason to think that the claim to begin with was a valid one. The fact that the nitba is denying it completely doesn't give us any particular reason to say that it's such a strong tviya that we should make him take a shvur. So when the Gemara is saying over here, Ayde Taino Kfira Hein Boyin, we don't just mean that there's a Taina and a Kfira. We mean that there's a Taina and the Kfira strengthens our suspicion that there is something to this Taina. Namely, therefore, he's not Kofar Hakel, only Moedim Metzas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Gemara says, Malat Sada Shava Shabahan, Shekain Lehuchsa Kafron. On the other hand, the fact is, at Sada Shava, whether there's one aid or whether he himself is Moida, he doesn't have a chazaka of being a Kafron, because of being a denier, because when would he have that chazaka? When he's contradicted by two aid. And in both of these cases, So in other words, even when there's one aid against him, that's not strong enough. Yes, it means that he has to take a shvur, but it's not strong enough to make him that we should give him a chazaka from now on that he's a liar and therefore we shouldn't trust him in the future. And based in Torah be'edim, shekein hochsa kafron. How do you compare it to Edim, where he does once two Edim come and say he was kofar hakel, and Edim say that he owes 50, that gives him a chazaka of a kafron. So now maybe we should say we shouldn't trust him with a shvur anymore. So we shouldn't trust him with a shvur, and then you have Rishonim discuss. So what would happen? You have a concept in halacha called You have a case where a person is chayev shvua, but he's not able to swear because, in this case, for example, because he's a kafron, does that mean automatically that he's chayev? The Ritva says yes. Then the Tosfos Rosh says that no, he wouldn't take shvua at all. So in other words, then he would be like a kofer hakel. Anyway, but the point is, so that breaks our tzad hashava. Yes, you're saying that there's a tzad hashava between piv and hadas and between piv and one aid, in both cases he's taking a shavua. Therefore, we can also bring in two aidim. But the problem is, with two aidim, you have a different kind of thing where now he's a kafran, which you don't have by the others. So maybe you would say, as a kafran, he can't be swearing. But the Gemara asks, is that really so? If he's contradicted by Edim, does that necessarily make him a kafron, and therefore that he can't swear anymore? If a person denies a milva, whether he's kofar hakol, whether he's moedim mitzas, nevertheless kosher la'edus, he's still kosher la'edus afterwards. We don't say that he's a gazlan and now he's posel la'edus, because Rashi says, since, as we know throughout Shas, milva lahitzah nitna, a milva is meant to be spent, then we say that maybe again he's trying to stall for time. He figures, right now I'll deny whether the whole thing or part of it. Okay, we said before that usually chazaka in anamei is panim b'nei ba'al choyve, but nevertheless, he might, if now Edim come and say that he owes half of it, still he might have been denying the whole thing, or he might have been denying part of it in order to stall for time. So that doesn't necessarily make him a gazlan. But the pikodin posel edus. But if he denies a pikodin, now a pikodin is not meant to be spent. So what do you mean? So what do you mean? What excuse do you have? If Edim come and say that you received that pikodin and you didn't, and whatever, Rashi points out, now why can't you say, in the case of a pikodin, for example, it could be saying, I lost it and I'm stalling for time until I find it. Because the Gemara is going to explain later on Hayom and Beis, we're going to learn that actually we're talking about that the Edim come and say that when he came to Beis Din, he actually still had the Pekodin in his possession. So therefore, he has no excuse. What's the only possibility would be that he wants to take the Pekodin and keep it for himself, and that would make him a Gazlan. So we see, just because he's Kafran, just because he denies something that Edim say, is not enough to make him be considered a liar such that we shouldn't trust him with a Shavua. So yes, our tzad hashava is still valid. When it comes to piv, or when it comes to one aid, he's not a kafran. We can still make him take a shvura. And even when there were two aidim against him, also he can still take a shvura, because we're talking over here about a milva. So you're right. The Gemara says, Ela parichachi. Rather, you can try to shlug up the tzad hashava as follows.
The pikodin pasul edus.
If he denies a pikodin, then he's pasul edus, because then we're saying that a pikodin, he has no, what's he denying? Ela parichachi. Rather, the question is going to be as follows: Malat sadashava shebehen shekain enin b'todas hazama. Rather, the question is going to be that when it comes to hadas piv, or when it comes to one aid, there's no din of hazama. If he himself says, I owe money to Pliny because I borrowed from him on such and such a day, it doesn't even matter, as we learned yesterday, as Ren Hananel had pointed out, even if Edim come and say that you were with us someplace else, doesn't matter, he's still chayev because Hadras Baal didn't come in Edim Dami. And when there's one aid, also the concept of Hazama does not apply, because in order for there to be Hazama, there need to be two Edim. So in particular, Todas Hazama means, in other words, the rule that Vasisam Loikash Hazama, the rule that we make him pay according to what he plotted to do, doesn't apply to 1-8. And of course, by Piv, Hazama is not even relevant. So the question would be that by them, there's no Todas Hazama, there's no rule of Hazama, Toma Be'edim, Shekin Yeshinim Be'todas Hazama. Whereas two Edim, if two other Edim are Mazim them, then they're going to have to pay. So that's a weakness in two Edim versus either Piv or one Ed. And the Gemara answer is, Rabchia, Sadasha, Rabchia, Todas Hazama Leparich. Hole Kasha, the Gemara answer is, this is not a Kasha. Rabchia, Todas Hazama Leparich. Rabchia does not consider that to be a valid Pircha, a valid upschlag to his Sadashava, because the fact is, one aid, two aidim will contradict his aidus and say that his aidus is possible. The reason why In other words, the concept of Hazama does apply to one aid, in the sense if he says that Reuven owes the 50 and two other aidim come and say, no, Imanu Hayisem, fine, he's not having to pay because the whole concept of paying for Hazama only applies if there were two aidim, but one aid, at least they are contradicting his aidus, and they are saying his aidus, there is no debt of 50 anymore. So therefore, so to that extent, that does apply when it comes to one aid and the fact that he doesn't pay the knas. Fine, that's not that doesn't make it any stronger. That doesn't make his aidos any stronger. In fact, like Tosfos said before, it makes it weaker because his to begin with his aidos was not able to be mechayev mammon. Then therefore, it's not strong enough to be mechayev him to have to pay if it turns out that he's an aid zoyin. But not that sort of chia would not consider that to be a valid pircha, and therefore his tzad hashava still stands. So we've shown what Rav Chiya's Kavachomer is. Ultimately, it's not a one-part Kavachomer, it's a two-part Kavachomer. We're saying by the Tzad HaShava between Piv and one aid that either one of them makes him Chayev Shavua, and even though each one has a feature that the other one doesn't, nevertheless, there is this in common that in both cases, Reuven is claiming 100, Shimon is counterclaiming something, whether he's denying the whole thing or whether he's claiming 50, and he has to swear. So therefore, the same thing will be with two Adim, and we show that there's no case where we can say that two Adim are any weaker than one Adim. Even this last thing of Hazama, we're saying it's not a strength in one aid versus two aidim. On the contrary, it's a weakness because he's not able to be mechayev mammon. Therefore, he himself can't be chayev mammon if he turns out to be an aid zayin. Fine. The Gemara says, Ela d'ka'am of a tona turna. However, we had another point that Reb Chiya had said. After he had brought his din, he said, you can see that our Mishnah makes the same point in the case of Shnayim Urchzim Batalis. Because we said, in effect, we said a non-sadi, we are Adim, that each one owns the half of the talus which he is holding on to, and therefore, and nevertheless, we make him swear that he doesn't own more, that he doesn't own more than that. So therefore, that would be similar, Rav Chiya says, to his case. But the Gemara says, Ela d'kam of a ton of tuna, mi dummy. How is it comparable? Hosam lamalva isle sadi, laloiva less le sadi, de le masik leva le midi. The fact is, in Reb Chiya's case, the Malva has Adim, that the other guy owes him 50. The Loiva doesn't have anything, doesn't have any Adim that he doesn't owe him anything. Now, the words of these last few words over here, Dolei Masik, Levelei Midi, don't necessarily belong in the Gemara, and in fact, Rashi doesn't seem to have them. But whatever, the point is, the Loiva doesn't have any Adim. If the loiva had Adim that he owes only 50, then we wouldn't be talking about a shvuah over here. And of course, if the loiva has Adim that he doesn't owe anything, that he doesn't owe anything at all, then we've got two Adim against two Adim, and then if we follow the usual rules of akasha in that case, the whole concept with a shvuah over here, according to the Priya, is going to be where the malva has Adim on his side and the loiva does not. So fine. The din of Reb Chiya, we said fine. We showed Reb Chiya has a logical basis for his din, and we can accept it. But how is he saying that it's proven from our Mishnah? In the case of the in Reb Chiya's case, only one side has Adim. After all, if Loiva had Adim that he didn't owe him anything, then of course Reb Chiya would not require him to swear because then he has Adim on his side that he doesn't owe anything. And you have a little bit of discussion. You have a little bit of discussion exactly the Rashba deals with exactly what the scenario might have been in that case. But anyway, the point is,
well, how would the scenario be?
How would the scenario be?
So okay, so Adim that he doesn't owe any money,
right? So the Rashba makes a point also that if the Adim said, for example, that if the counterclaiming Adim said that he owes only 50, then it would be called kfiras shibud karkois. What he's denying would, if he had Adim on his side that said he owed only 50, then his denial would be what's called kfiras shibud karkois. We're going to talk about that on Omid Beis, where he's denying a claim that involves karka, because anytime there's a loan, there's karka, there's a shibud on karka involved, and you don't swear on such things because the Gemara explains later on in the Masechta that you swear only on cases involving metaltalin. And if he says lahoy dvorim ma'olam, then you have something called the kolayim lelevisi, kolayim leparaiti dummy. If he says I never borrowed, is the equivalent of saying that I never paid, and therefore he'd be chayev. So the Rashba explains that the case might be, for example, where Reuven says that I lent him money on such and such a day in front of the Edim. The Shimon says lahoy dvorim ma'olam. The Edim say yes, there was a loan, but it was only 50. So anyway, the point is then there's no shvua, because then the whole concept of a shvur would only be, as Reb Chiya is saying, only when he's either moedim mitzas or where there's edim against him for the 50, and he doesn't have any edim to the contrary. So how is it comparable to our Mishnah? Let's go back to the Gemara. Ela d'ka'om of a tana tuna. Reb Chiya had said that the Tana of our Mishnah supports what he's saying. Me dummy, how is it similar? In that case, the Malva has Edim. The Loiva does not have any Edim that he doesn't owe anything, or that he owes only 50. After all, if the Loiva had Edim that he doesn't owe anything, or for that matter, if he had Edim that he owes 50, Reb Chiya would not require him to swear, because there'd be nothing to swear about. He'd pay the 50, or he'd be a kofar hakol, and that would be that. Hocha, but in the case of our Mishnah, ki heichi da anan sadi bahai, anan sadi bahai. Just as much as we are edim on the one of them, on Reuven, that he owns half the talus, we're equally well edim on Shimon, that he owns half the talus. V'afilo hochi mishtabi. And nevertheless, they have to swear. So it's not the same case as Reb Chiya is talking about. Because in Reb Chiya's case, we're saying that if there were edim on both sides, he wouldn't have to swear. And in our Mishnah, we're saying he would have to swear. So fine, Reb Chiya's din may be a valid din, but how is he proving it from our Mishnah? So the one answer is, Ella, you're right. Ki itmar, the tona tuna, a idach de Reb Chiya itmar. Reb Chiya's statement, the tona tuna, that he wants to prove from our Mishnah, is actually going to be in connection with a different din that he says. The itmar, the omer Reb Chiya, because Reb Chiya says another din. When he says itmar, he's saying it's been said regarding another statement of Reb Chiya. Reuven says you owe me a money, and Shimon says I owe you only 50. Vehelach, and here is the 50 zuz, meaning in other words. So Rashi explains, he's saying, I never spent them, and therefore they're available wherever you want them. Meaning, in other words, that now it's like this. This second din of Reb Chiya, are we talking about a milva, or are we also talking about a pikodin? Keep in mind, this that Reuven says, you owe me 100, can be because of various things. It can be Reuven can say, oh, I lent you $100, or it can be that Reuven is saying, I was mafkid $100 by you. When he's counterclaiming and saying 50, if there were no Edim involved, then he would, if there were no Edim and no Halach involved, then it's classic Moedim Mitzas, and of course he's taking a Shavua equally well. This new din that Reb Chiya is saying involving Halach, would we say that that applies only by a Milva, or would it apply by Pekodin as well? So now Rashi, who uses the Loshin, Rashi says, Loi Hitzesim, I did not spend that money, and therefore you can get it from wherever it is. Then Rashi is learning that this din of Halach would apply to a milva as well. On the other hand, Hagoyis HaGura points out that Ran disagrees with that and says, no, by a milva, there can never be a concept of Halach. There can never be the money is available because milva lights on mitna, because a milva is meant to be spent. And therefore, you can't talk about that the money is available right now. Only by Pikodin could you talk about that. So if he were to say, if Reuven were to say, I deposited $100 for safekeeping with you, and Shimon says, you only deposited 50, the halach, and they're still available in my house, and I'll go and bring it to you, that would be the case of halach that Reb Chiya is talking about over here, according to the Ran, specifically by Pekodin. Whereas according to Rashi, it would be by Milva as well. So then Reb Chiya is saying, yeah. So he says the halach. Chayev, then Reb Chiya is going to say that he's going to have to swear on the rest. My timer, Halach Nami, Kamodim Miktas Atayna Dami, because Halach is also considered to be like Modim Miktas. And now Reb Chiya says on that, the Tona Tuna, now we can prove that from our Mishnah, Shnai Mechsim Talis Skola. Because in the case of our Mishnah, each one says kulashali, kiven de tofis, once each of them is holding on to the talus, anan sadi, my tofis helachu, then therefore, in effect, what each one is holding is an example of helach. So therefore, each one, we are edim, that each one owns a half a talus, and the other one is considered kofer hakol, and meanwhile, edim are saying that he owns half, so it's as if each one is saying helach on the half that the other one is holding on to. So Rashi explains like this. We think that according to the Priya, the reason behind the Mishnah is because again, Anan Sadi, whatever he's holding on is his. So therefore, it's the equivalent of saying Monali Biyadcha, the other one saying you don't owe me anything, because after all, Reuven is saying I own not only half the talus, I own the whole thing. Meanwhile, Edim, meaning we who serve as Edim for the purpose, in effect, are saying that he is in fact that he does in fact owe 50, that he owns only half the talus. And therefore this would be an example of halach. And the Mishnah is saying each of them has to swear. The Katani Yeshava, and still the Mishnah is saying he has to swear. Therefore, the Priya can say that you can prove from our Mishnah his case involving Halach, that even when he says Halach, the money is available right now, whether we're talking to Milva according to Rashi, or Pikodin exclusively, according to the Ran, either way, that it would work as we have in the Mishnah, that each of them is going to have to swear. So in the case of Reuven and Shimon, where he says, Reuven says you owe me 100, and Shimon says I only owe you 50, obviously there's nothing for Reuven to swear, there's only for Shimon to swear, but that's how it is. In other words, Zerchia says, you can show from our Mishnah that there would be a Shavua in that case. On the other hand, V'rev Sheshes Oma Helach Potter. On the other hand, Reb Shesha says that in the case of Halach, this exact case, he would actually be potter from a Shavua. Now Reb Shesha is going to explain our Mishnah.
He's giving money.
So wait, the reason is my timer. Kiven to Omale Halach, Reb Shesha takes the view that once he says Halach, Hani Zuzi to Kamoidi Bagavayu, then the Zuzim, the money that he's being moida on, that he owes it, the 50 that he says that he owes, commanded Nokalahu Malva Dami. It's considered as though the Malva is already holding on to them. Be in a Chamishim Hole Moidi. And then the other 50 he's not admitting to. Hilkachleka Hoidab Mixas Ataina. Therefore, you don't have Moidim Mixas. So, in other words, in effect, what you have over here, Rav Shesha says, when you have Halach, in effect, what you have is two different claims. It's not one claim of 100, it's two claims of 50 each. And one of them, he's saying, here it is, Halach. And the other 50, he's denying completely, which makes him a Kofer Hakel.
So, he doesn't have to make a Shavua.
So, therefore, according to Rav Shesha, no Shavua. Yeah.
Well, how do you get that from the word Hani Zuzi?
Hani Zuzi, these Zuzim that become Moidim. The Kamoidi Bekavayu, that he is Moida in them, command the Noket Lahu Malva Domi, are considered as though the Malva is holding on to them. The Inoch Hamishim, as far as the other 50, Hole Moidi, is not being Moida. Hilkach, therefore, Lekah Hidas Mixas Ataina. So there's no Moida of Mixas.
Okay.
Yeah. So the question is, Lord of Sheshes Kasha Masnissin. Well, according to Rav Sheshes, how is he going to understand our Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah, we don't say that. We don't say that it's considered as though he's saying Halach on the other half, and you shouldn't have to swear. We say both of them have to swear. The answer is Amalach Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes is going to answer, as we learned before, Masnissin Takanas Chachamim He, that like we had on Gimel Amar Aleph, Rabbi Yechanan had said that the whole Shavua in our Mishnah is strictly a Takanas Chachamim, so people don't grab a talus from other people. But in other words, like this, the Gemara had assumed that the Shavua, and appointed a Priya, this is how it is, the Shavua that we're talking about in our Mishnah is actually a Shavua Daraisa, like the case of the Shavua of a Moedim Mikdas. Rav Sheshes is saying it's not. It, from the point of view of Moedim Mixas, he would have been potter. But in this particular case, in order that people don't grab a talus and say it's mine, therefore the Chacham tell him to take a Shavua, doesn't prove in a regular case of Halach that he should be Chai of a Shavua. Rav Shesha says, no, he's not. So V'idach, what is Rav Chia answer to that? He says, "Ain, yeah, sure, I agree. Takanas Chachamim. I agree that the Shavua in our Mishnah is a Takanas Chachamim. It's not a classic case of Moedim Mixas. However, umiu, I am at b'shleim b'dar raisa halach chayav. If you're going to say that in a case of halach, then b'dar raisa he would be chayav, namely Rav Chia's case where Reuven says you owe me 100 and Shimon says no, I owe you only 50 v'hen halach. If we were to say that b'dar raisa he's chayav a shvua, fine, we can say misakni rabbanon shvua ke'in d'ar raisa. When the Chachamim make a Shavua, they usually try to pattern their Takonis on a Din Daraisa. They don't usually come up with something just completely out of the blue. So in other words, we would say, because there is a concept of Shavua by Halach, therefore even the, and our Mishnah is similar to a case of Halach. Now, it's not identical. It's not identical, but it's close enough. Therefore, the Chachamim can add and say, you know what, midaraisa, in a case of Halach, you would have to swear. Therefore, in the case of our Mishnah, we're going to say that they have to swear because of Takanas Chachamim, so one person doesn't grab a talus from somebody else. Eli, I'm at midaraisa.
Ka'ain deraisa.
Ka'ain, similar to
deraisa.
No, that's what we're saying. Misakne rabban shvur, ka'ain deraisa. The Chum would make a shvur, which is similar to the one of the Torah. We would say, in the case of Halach, we would say one person has a claim. The other one's claim is only, the other one's counterclaim is only Halach. He's not saying, after all, in the case of the Malvo, the Pikadin, or whatever, Shimon is not saying, you owe me money. All he's saying is, I don't owe you all of what you're saying that I owe. You're saying I owe 100, and really, all I owe is 50. In the case of our Mishnah, it's not the identical thing, because after all, each one is claiming that I own the entire talus. So it's not exactly the same, but nevertheless, we can say the Chum make a Shavua Ke'ein Daraisa, similar to, modeled on, the Shavua Daraisa. Eli, I'm a Midaraisa, Halach Potter. But Reb Chiya says, if you're going to say that Midaraisa, when there's Halach, he would be Potter, like Rav Shesha says, Mesakni Rabban and Shavua, the lesser the Kavasada Midaraisa, would the Chachamim make a kind of Shavua that no similar kind of thing at all exists in a Torah? They don't usually do that. So therefore, Rav Chiya would say that itself proves that in the case of Halach, you must be Chayav Shvur Daraisa. And therefore, the Chachamim can model on that and say that in our Mishnah, you should do the same thing. So it's true. The Shvur itself is Dirabanan. Now, Rav Sheshes doesn't have to accept that logic. Rav Sheshes can say that they can come up with a Shvur completely that doesn't even have an analog of anything in the Torah. But Rav Chiya is going to take the view that any Shvur Dirabanan has to be modeled on a Shvur Daraisa. So therefore, according to him, that shows that Halach must be Chayev, and therefore, in our Mishnah, we can treat it as a case of Halach and still be Mechayev Meshavua. Fine, we wouldn't have done that were it not for the consideration that Shalo Yehech Kalech Tokif, that a person shouldn't grab somebody else's talus, but nevertheless, we would still say that. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Mesvi then, I have a contradiction on Reb Chiya. A Braisa says, Sloim Dinrin. Suppose you have a Shtar Choiv where it says that Shimon borrowed money from Reuven. It says that he borrowed from him Sloim, but it doesn't say how many. Or it says he borrowed from him Dinrin, and it doesn't say how many. Now, Miut Rabim Shtayim, when you have a plural without saying how many, then usually it means two. Malva Oimer Chomish Veloiva Oimer Sholish. Suppose now the Malva says that I'm owed five. We didn't write the number in the shtar, but I actually lent him five sloim or five din. And the loiva says it was only three. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Hoyova Hoydim Mixas Ataina Yeshava. Reb Shimon Elazar says, well, Moidim Mixas. Therefore, he has to swear because the other guy is claiming five and he's counterclaiming three. Reb Akiva says, no, Eina Ela Kimesha Ravedo Potter. This would be an example of Mesha Raveda. He could have said two, and the shtar would back him up. Because again, the shtar not having a number in it suggests that it's two. So therefore, we can consider him like Mesha Raveda. And as we've learned before, when a person finds a lost object and the other guy claims you found more and you're keeping some of it for yourself, we don't make him swear because of Tikkun Olam. Take one of the big Gemaras over there. No, Ellie, over there among the big, take one of the big Gemaras, they're not falling apart. So Rabbi Akiva says that, look, he would have been able to get away with a claim of two. So he's saying three. You want to encourage him to tell the truth. And then if you're going to make him swear on that, then he's going to say that in that case, I may as well claim two. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva considers him a Mesha Raveda, and therefore he's Potter. Tosfos, by the way, points out further on that the Girsa may over here be Rabbi Yaakov, not Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Tosfos points it out in connection with that on the face of it, this din of Rabbi Akiva seems to contradict a different din of Rabbi Akiva elsewhere, but it's also, Tosfos says, that you would also argue Rav Shimon Elazar is from a generation or two after Rav Akiva. Why would he be mentioned first in the Braisa? But Tosfos says that's not necessary. Sometimes you have, but sometimes the opinions of Tanoim and a Braisa are listed out of order. Anyway, so that's the Braisa. So Rav Shimon Elazar considers him Moed Mirtes. Rav Akiva says that he's Potter on the grounds of Meshav Aveda. Now, Katoni Mias, now, the bottom line is, we said in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, Oma Hova Hoda Mitzvah Tiny Yeshoma, that because he's a Modim Mitzvah, Rav Shimon Elazar says he has to swear. Taima de Omar Sholish. Now, why is Rav Shimon Elazar requiring him to swear? Is only because he claimed three. Ha Shtayim.
Hataina.
Implying. What?
What? I'm sorry.
Hataina. Hova Hoda Mitzvah Hataina. Because he had claimed only part, because he had admitted to only part of the Taina. Yeshava, therefore he has to swear. So taima de omar sholish. The implication is only because he said three. So in other words, let's consider the Braisa could have equally well presented their machloikas in the case where one where the Malva says five and the Loiva says two. And the Braisa could have presented their machloikas that way, but it didn't. Now let's consider whatever it says in the Shtar is considered Halach. Because what you have in the shtar, then you have a shibud, you have a proof on it, and you have more to the point, you have a shibud on it. Because you have a shibud of karka, whenever you have a loan, then therefore the land is considered halach, because it's available wherever it is. Karka in an exelus, you can't steal it, you can't hide it, you can't whatever, so therefore it's always available. So
so what's hashtag patur?
So wait. So that's what we're saying. Ha, the implication is shtayim, if he had claimed that he owes two potter, then Rav Shimon Elazar would patur him from a shur. Well, that's what we have to figure out. Now this case, because of the shtar, and he's moida on what it says in the shtar, halachu, then this is an example of halach, because in effect, what he's saying is that the shtar says sloim, and I'm saying that in fact, I owe you only two, and the two are backed up by the shtar, then and there's karka available to collect it if you need to. So therefore, that's a case of halach. Ushmamina halach potter. So it would come out based on that he would be potter by halach. In other words, therefore, the only example that Rav Shimon Elazar can find to be mechayev him is when he's claiming three, where there's no halach anymore because the third seller is not backed up by the shtar. So we see, therefore, on the face of it, that halach is potter.
The two are backed by the shtar.
The two are backed by the shtar, the three is not. So therefore, when he says three, Rav Shimon Elazar says that already Rav Shimon Elazar is not dealing with the matter of Meshav Aveda, but he's saying he's Moed B'Mikzas, because now you have, there's a claim of two, which is Halach. There's a claim of three where there's not Halach, because there's no Shtar backing it up. It would be an effect of Milval Peh, and he's admitting to one out of three, therefore that's Moed B'Mikzas. But we see that if he had claimed two, then Rav Shimon Elazar would agree that he's Potter. Why? Because Halach. Well, then that shows that Halach is Potter, like Rav Sheshes, not like Rav Chia. So that's the question.
Wouldn't have to swear?
So that's what we're saying. According to Rav Chia, in a case of Halach, he has to swear. According to Rav Sheshes, he does not. Our Braisa that we just quoted seems to say that he's Potter because of Halach. Well, therefore, that shows like Rav Sheshes, that he's Potter in a case of Halach. So the answer is, loy, not necessarily. Lo olam emalach shtayim chayev. As a matter of fact, even if he had claimed two, he might well be chayev as well. He might well be chayev shvur,
even though it's
in the shtar. And that would show that halach is chayev. V'haid katani sholish. The only reason the Braisa mentions three la apukid midin Rav Akiva is just in order to, because Rav Shimon Elazar wants to tell us not like Rav Akiva. Dama meishav aveda havio potter. Where after all, Rav Akiva says he's a meishav aveda, and therefore he would be potter entirely, even when he's claiming three. Gamash malon demodim b'chzatayna havi b'chayev. Rav Shimon Elazar says no. I can't agree with that. I can't agree that he is a now. In other words, if it said two, then you wouldn't have. You wouldn't know what Rav Shimon Elazar says in a case where he's meishav aveda. Now Rav Shimon Elazar wants to stress to us, I don't care about meishav aveda. The fact is, he's modim b'chzas, therefore he's chayev. But yes, he would have said the same thing if it was. He would have said the same thing whether it's two. And Tosfos adds that even if we're going to say that in the case of two he'd be chayav shvur, and only in the case of the three is Rav Akiva saying he's potter because meishav aveda, the point would be that again, because if he said two, that would be more neman because the shtar backs him up. So therefore, when he says three, Rav Akiva can consider him a meishav aveda. So Tosfos also adds that the fact is that because the shtar implies two, therefore that's the only reason why he's moida. Because if there was no shtar, he would have tried to deny the whole thing. Now, because there's a shtar, he can't deny all of it. So therefore, he figures he's going to deny as much as possible. So the fact that he says two is the fact that he says two. And Tosfos, in other words, asks, why don't we give him a migri? When he says three, he could have said two, and then he would be, when he says three, he could have said two, and therefore, so why is Rav Shimon Elazar making him take a shavua either way? And that's Tosfos says, because when the shtar says sloyim, and it doesn't say the number, and therefore he's saying two, he has no choice but to say two. So therefore, when he says three, so therefore, the minimum is two, exactly. So therefore he doesn't have a migri. Therefore, when he says three, he doesn't have a migri that he could have said two, because there's really no choice. He would have had to say two no matter what. So there's no proof from this. Against Rav Chiya. Maybe in fact the Braisa could have just as well said the case where he says two, but the Braisa is saying three only to tell us that Rav Shimon Elazar disagrees with Rav Akiva in the case of three. But it doesn't show that if he had in fact said two, and there's a case of Halach over there, that he should be potter from a Shavua, maybe in fact Rav Shimon Elazar would be mechayvin by a Shavua by two as well, like Rav Chiya says. But the Gemara says, in that case, if that's how you're going to understand the Braisa, what do you mean, Rav Shimon Elazar Oima, Hoy over Hoy to Mitzatani Yeshava? Where Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, because he was Moida, part of the Taina, therefore he swears, after Zay Yeshava Mibarulai. It should have said, even in this case, he swears. In other words, Rav Shimon Elazar should be saying, because he says Hoyle, is, you know why he's having to swear? Because he was Moida Mitzas. And only he's moedim miktas on the third seller, because the first two is not considered a hoidah because you have halach involved already. So therefore, you should have said af zayishava, even in this case, not only when there's two and there's halach as he chayev, but even when there's three and even when there's three, then also he's chayev. And it didn't say it that way. So elo la'olam shtayim potter v'halach chayev. No, we can say that after all, in fact, when he says that he owes only two, he would be potter from a shavua, and nevertheless halach is chayev. So then, in that case, why isn't this a case of halach? The shiny hocha to come sayel shtar. Again, the difference is exactly that, because the shtar backs him up. Because not just that there's a shtar, Rashi points out also there are edim on the shtar, and therefore so that backs up his claim that there were only two. So therefore, he doesn't need a shvua in that case. So we can usually say that halach is chayev, but this is not just a case of halach. This is a case where he actually has edim on his side. Inami, or another reason why we can pater him when he swears on two, mishum dehavale shtar shibud karkois, because this is a shtar that involves a shibud on karka, because whenever there's a milv of a shtar, you always have a shibud on karka as a result of it. And there's no swearing on a kfira involving karka, because the psukim that talk about swearing on a claim are talking about metalplin, and we learn from that in various gemaras that they don't apply to karka. In fact, Tosfos points out, in a regular case of Moedim Mitzas, you could have, how is there not a matter of Karka over there? You could say, for example, that he doesn't have Karka at all, even Karka Mishabodim, even Mishabodim, or that the other guy was Moichol it to him. But anyway, here we're talking about, so there's a shtar, therefore there's a shibud of karka, and the shtar, again, doesn't say a number which makes us assume that it means two. So that two is not just, it's not so much a matter of halach, it's a matter, so two possibilities. Again, either because he has edim that back him up, so that's stronger than any halach, or where halach was only where he himself is saying halach, here you have edim that in effect are saying halach, or because you have karka involved in karka already, then you don't have a shivur in such cases. Okay, so therefore,
if there's no shivur because it's karka, then you could say the proof of making a swear.
Right, that's what Tosfos was pointing out, is that usually Moedim Mitzas, you shouldn't just say the same thing. And the answer is, because you could say in other cases of Moedim Mitzas, you can be talking about, for whatever reason, there's no Kauka involved. Whether the guy was Moichel, the shibud of Kauka, whether he didn't have any Kauka in the first place, but yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Ikud de moisiv misefa." Now, so far we were showing that on the face of it, the first part of the Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion, contradicts Rav Chiya. Now we're going to do the other way around. Now we're going to show on the face of it, the Seifa, Rav Akiva's opinion, contradicts Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Ikud de moisiv misefa. There are those who instead pointed out the contradiction is from the Sefer, from Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and the question is going to be on Rav Sheshes. According to that way of looking at it, Shitta Mukabetzis points out that Rav Chiya, the Gemara is going to end up saying at the end of the Sugya, Rav Chiya is a Tana, he's able to argue with Braisas, so therefore it's not just a strong question on him if the Braisa contradicts him, but Rav Sheshes is already squarely an Amora, and he can't argue with Tanoim, so then yeah. So we said, Rav Akiva Omer Eina Ela Kamesha Ravedo Potter. Rav Akiva had said that if he says three, then he's a Mesha Raveda, and therefore he's Potter, because we said that the Chacham make a takana, that a Mesha Raveda shouldn't have to swear with Netikun Olam. So the Mesha Raveda, he's returning a lost object. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Taima de Omer Sholosh. So the implication is, why is Rav Akiva pathering him? Because he said three. Hashtayim, implying, but if he had said two, Chayev, then even Rabbi Akiva would be Mechayev him by two, because other than the Tana could have brought a case involving two.
You have to start.
That's the point. In other words, that's the point. Why is Rabbi Akiva considering him a Meshav Aveda? Because he's admitting to more than what says in the Shtar. The Shtar itself is implying only two, and he's saying three. But if he had said two, Rabbi Akiva would be Mechayev. Now again, because Shtar, now the shtar in which he's moida is considered like halach. The word kivan is in parenthesis over here. Rashi had mentioned earlier that we're not girdus in an earlier part of the, a few lines earlier, kivan. So apparently the understanding is we shouldn't be girdus it here either. Anyway, so v'hashtar d'kamoidi b'kehelach dami, the shtar in which he is moida, because the shtar says in effect says two, and he's admitting two. So therefore that's like halach. Shmamina halach chayiv. And you see from that, that he is chayiv by halach. Rav Akiva is patering him by three because he's meishav aveda, implying, but if he had said two, he would be chayiv. According to Rav Sheshes, he should be patur either way, because in the one case, because meishav aveda, and the other case, because of halach. So shema min halach chayiv. The Gemara says, loy, not necessarily. Lo olam emalach shtayim nami patur. In fact, maybe the Braisa could be implying that even if he had said two, also Rav Akiva would make him potter. Behind the paternity Sholish, the reason it mentions three, Ma'apuki did Rav Shimon Elazar, because Rav Akiva needs to tell us that he doesn't hold like Rav Shimon Elazar. The Amma Moedim Mixas a tiny habit of Chayev, where he would say he's Moedim Mixas and he's Chayev. Kamash Moan, the Meshav Aveda Havi of Potter. Rav Akiva wants us to be aware that he's a Meshav Aveda and therefore he's Potter. But that doesn't mean that Rav Akiva would say that in the case of two, he should be Chayev. He might in fact be Potter. There's no Meshav Aveda over there, but there is Halach. And Rav Akiva might well hold, like Rav Sheshes, that Halach is Potter. Okay, and in fact, the Gemara says, Hochinami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand it that way. Disak dat shtayim chayim.
Oh, wait, Kamash Malan.
Yeah, I said, yeah. No, there's no Kamash Malan yet. Yeah, Kamash Malan, the Meshav Aveda Havi Potter, yeah. So, therefore, Rav Akiva informs us by mentioning the case of three, that even when he claims three, then he's Potter on the grounds of Meshav Aveda. Don't consider him a Modi Mixas, consider him a Meshav Aveda, says Rav Akiva. So now, and the Gemara says, Hokinami Mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand that the Braisa is not really making a distinction between two and three. It's not saying by two he would be Chayev, and by three he'd be Potter, which would be like Rav Chiya. Rather, the Braisa is implying that both by two and by three he's Potter, like Rav Sheshes, either Halach or Meshav Aveda. If you were to think that he's Chayev when it comes to two, if he claims two, b'sholosh hechi potter le Rav Akiva. How could Rav Akiva potter him if he says three? Hai yarumi kamarin. Wouldn't there be a concern over here that the guy is playing a trick? so far, he's going to think to himself, if I claim two, that I only owe two b'inish tabui, then I'm going to have to swear. Ema sholosh, then instead I'll say three, dehebi kemesh raveda v'ifter. That way I'll be able to take advantage of the mesh raveda exemption and I'll be potter. Doesn't that show that he's potter also when he says two? And that would be like Rav Sheshes. That's the point. Because he's potter by halach, therefore that gives us a basis. When he says three, now we can say he's a meshav aveda, because he could have equally well been potter if he had said two. In other words, in effect, that gives him kind of like a migra. So it gives him kind of like a migra. He doesn't have to say three. He could have said two, and it would have been just as strong, and he would have been potter on the grounds of halach. If you're going to tell me he's chayev with two, because we call that halach, he's chayev like Rav Chiya, then well, whatever. The point is, fine, karka is a side thing, but the point is, in other words, that if we were to say that if he says two, he's going to be chayev to swear because halach is going to be chayev, then why would he be potter by three? Then he's going to say, you know what, I have to claim three in order to be meishir avedi, because if I claim two, then I'm going to be chayev shvua, and I don't want to have to take a shvua. So it has to be, therefore, that Rabbi Akiva, who's saying he's potter by three, must also necessarily say he's potter by two, like Rav
Sheshes.
If you were going to say that by two he's chayav, b'sholosh heichi potter l'Rabbi Akiva, how could Rabbi Akiva potter him by three? Isn't he trying to cheat over here? Sava, he's thinking, I'm in a shtayim, if I say two, but in a shtabui, I'm going to have to swear. Aim a sholosh, instead I'm going to say three, then have you kameshav aveda, that way I'll be considered a meshav aveda of iftar, and that way I'll be potter. Elosh mamin ashtayim nami potter. Doesn't that demonstrate that by two also he's potter, like Rav Sheshes? Ela kasha l'rabchia. So now if we understand it that way, then we're back to a question on Rabchia. How can he say that halach is chayev? It's true, we have that logic over there, that in that case, how can we potter him by three and we mechayev him by two? And the answer is shiny hossam to come a sailor shtar. Again, like we said before, because the shtar and the edim that are signed on the shtar back him up. So now he has edim, therefore no shvua is necessary. Inami, or like we said before, Mishum Dahavali Shtar Shibut Karkois, because the shtar that involves Shibut of Karka, then Nishbar Nakfiras Shibut Karkois, and you don't swear on such a claim. So the Braisa doesn't contradict Rav Akiva's opinion. The way we've understood it doesn't contradict Rav Chiya either. Rav Chiya could say that yes, we're going to say he is chayev by two, but not because it's a matter of halach, but because it's a matter of by two he would be potter according to Rav Akiva, but not because of halach, because halach alone he'd be chayev, but rather because over here you have other factors. You have edim on the shtar, or you have karka involved, and those would be reasons to ponder him. Where those don't apply, then Rabchiya would say that halach is chayev. Okay, the Gemara says, Masiv Mazutra Beid Rav Nachman. The Mazutra Beid Rav Nachman says, I have another contradiction on Rav Sheshes. A Mishnah says in Masech de Shavuos, now we've just been saying that when a person denies a claim on karka, then he's potter from a shvua. Because again, when the Torah describes this matter of a shvua, it describes a connection with metalfilin. But the Mishnah says, "Tani kelim v'karkos." What if Reuven claims against Shimon that you owe me a certain number of kelim as well as a certain amount of karka? So I, for example, I was going out of town. I left my kelim for you to watch, and also my karka for you to watch. So now give them back. So he admits to the kalim. He says, yes, you deposited the kalim with me, and I need to give them back. The karka, though, you never deposited with me in the first place. This is my karka. Or the other way around, he was mowed down the karka and denying the kalim. Potter.
Doesn't karka have a coil?
Maybe not. The fact remains that over here you have he's claiming that he gave him the karka to watch, that he told him to watch the karka, and the other one is saying that. Then the other one is saying that
no.
There's no paperwork. Let's say, yeah, it could be. You know, he owned the field already for long enough that, as it says in Baba Basra, you know, after 3 years, a person is not careful with the shtar anymore. Yeah.
Potter from Shavua.
What?
Potter.
So wait. So the Mishnah says Potter. So therefore in those cases. So Potter, so he's Potter from swearing, it's not considered Moedim Mitzas. Moedim Mitzas Karkois Potter. If he admitted to some of the claim on the Karka, then he's also Potter, because again, the whole concept of Moedim Mitzas does not apply to Karka. Mitzas Kalim Chayev, but if it's Moedim on some of the Kalim, then he's Chayev, because Kalim, I'm a Talpilin, and the concept of Moedim Mitzas would apply to them. Now, says Mar Zutra, timer to Kalim Karkois. Why are we saying that if there was a claim of Kalim and Karka, and we're saying that he denies one or the other, then we're saying he's Potter? De Karka, la bas shvuhi, because Karka is not subject to the concept of Shavuot. Ha Kalim the Kalim. It sounds like, though, the implication is if he claimed Kalim and the other guy counterclaim that he owes only some of the Kalim, and the Kalim are available now, the Kalim are Halach, they're right here in front of us in Beis Din, and he says Halach. So it sounds like chayim. Can dumia de kelim karkois in a way which would be similar to kelim and karkois, namely karka is always available in front of us because the karka is always available. The kelim then we'd be talking about that his moida are also available in front of us. They're actually hiu and basin, and he's able to say helach. It sounds like chayim. So heichidami. So what would be the case? Lav de omale helach. Yeah, it's a lot to swear. My lav de omale helach. Isn't that a case where he's saying, Halach, the Kalim are right here in Basedin, and he's saying here, the Kalim are available for you to take. The rest of the Kalim that are not here in Basedin, I deny that you ever gave them to me. Ushma min a Halach Chayev. So you see that in a case of Halach, he would be Chayev. So not like Rav Sheshes. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, further on in the Gemara, which we're going to learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we're going to talk about that even by Karka, it's possible to have a case where it's not Halach. The karka is always available, of course, but you can have, for example, that he says, I gave you the karka in this condition, and you're returning it in a different condition. You dug pits and things in it. So that's not halach. So the Gemara could have given that answer, but instead the Gemara is going to give a different answer. But it's a different kind of halach. It's the equivalent of saying, I gave you this keli hole, and now it's broken. That's not halach. Halach is when you're saying it's available. Available means available as it is, as it was supposed to be. So anyway. So again, the point is, why is he potter? Because there was a claim of kalim and karka, and he's admitting to one and denying the other. And because by karka there's no concept of shvua, then therefore we say that he's potter, implying. But if it was two sets of kalim and one of them and he's moedan one and denying the other, then he would be chayav to swear, even if those kalim are like karka available in front of us, in front of Beis Din right now, and he's saying halach. So that shows that halach shma mina halach chayav. Not like Rav Sheshes. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. In fact, he could be potter even when there's two sets of kalim. The reason why it mentions kalim and karka, because the chiddush is, let's say, for example, so now Reuven says, I deposited with you 10 kalim and a piece of karka. Now where are all of them back? He says, 5 kalim I admit to, 5 I'm denying. As far as the karka, I'm also denying. If he's moida, though, he's moida on some of the kalim, and that makes him moida miktas, he's also going to have to swear on the karka. Not so much gilgul, but agav, really. It's going to be sort of like kinyan agav, the reverse of kinyan agav. So once he's chayav to swear on the kalim, then also we can bring in there the karkois as well. And Tosfos also adds, by the way, that again, you don't give him a migui and say that he could have denied the kalim and admitted only the karka, because maybe in fact he wants karka more, and therefore he doesn't want to claim that I owe only part of the karka, because he wants to keep the whole karka for himself, let's say. Anyway, so the Gemara says, in that case, my kamash malon, zoikikin. So what would be the chiddush of that Mishnah and Shavuos, the concept of zoikikin, the concept that once that a claim of metaltlin can also bring in a shavua on karka? Tanena, we learn that explicitly in a Mishnah and Kiddushin. Zoikikin on a chosim she'en la'en achrayus, as an achosim she'yesh la'en achrayus, lishob aleyen. That zoikikin means they require, or they connect. Like you have by a yovam, by yibum, you have the concept of zika, which means there's a connection between them. So the same way zikikim, it creates a connection. And the chosim she'en la'en achrayus, the chosim which have no achrayus, namely the tautlin, bring in, as an achosim she'esh la'en achrayus, they bring in the chosim that have achrayus, namely karka, lishov aleim, that you're required to swear on them. So we see from that Mishnah and Kiddushin that you have that concept. The Mishnah and Shavuos doesn't have to tell us that Kiddush. The answer is that's not a problem. Here in Masech Shavuos, the Mishnah that the Gemara was quoting is the main place where it talks about dinim of tvia and kfira and modim and mitzas and all of that. So therefore, that's the main place that it should be talking about. Hosim and kedushin agav grora nosva. He's only mentioning it by the way. Us agav grora nosva in Masech Kedushin is not the main place where it talks about the dinim of kinyonim. By the way, it's bringing it in while it's mentioning various things involving the kinyon of kedushin and the kinyonim of various other kinds of things. So incidentally, it mentions about once it mentions how you koina karka and how you koina metalplan, then it mentions this point about zoikikin. But it's not really the main place to talk about taino kfira about Toyin and Nitta and Toyin and Nitta and all of that is mainly in Masechta Shavuos. So there's no problem with the Tana in Masechta Shavuos is telling us a statement in order to highlight this point rather than relying on an incidental thing that was mentioned in Masechta Kedushin that you might not notice. So we could still say that. Yes, the Mishnah in Shavuos about the Kalim Makakois is implying that if it was Kalim Makalim, he would actually be Potter. The only reason it's mentioning Kalim Makakois is to tell us there is actually a case where he's going to swear on a claim involving Kaifa, namely by Zerk. So therefore that Mishnah does not contradict Rav Sheshes. It's not saying that by Kalim and Karkois he'd be Potter, but Kalim Bekalim he'd be Chayev. In fact, even by Kalim Bekalim he would be Potter when there's Halach. And that would fit with what Rav Sheshes is saying, that by Halach there's no Shavuot. And then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue working out exactly how all this will work.